You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Alert, I'm Nancy Grace. Breaking crime news now. Pastor Matthew Dedman's out shopping when he spots his wife sitting in a car outside a Mexican restaurant, Ozark, Missouri. In the driver's seat is Joe Newbern, whom Dedman long suspects of having an affair with his wife. In a fit of rage, Dedman unholsters his concealed handgun and fires four shots at Newbern, who dies.
Nancy, Newbern was shot in the chest several times and died of his injuries at a hospital the next day. Newbern is survived by two children and a host of grandchildren who described him as a genius mechanic. There has been a lengthy pretrial witness endorsement battle since Dedman's arrest, resulting in Dedman being granted a $30,000 bond after spending 2 years behind bars.
Pastor Matthew Dedman, 49, now charged with murder. A Texas man's family is confused when they keep getting car loan and credit card bills in his name. Why? Because he's been in a coma nearly 3 years. Meanwhile, the Florida State's Attorney's Office is investigating Donald Wood for trying to use fraudulent bank info to refinance his home. They connect Wood to the Texas victim and discover he's been using the man's identity for the entirety of the coma. Wood racks up at least $75,000 debt using the man's name. He pleads guilty to over 20 fraud charges, and a Florida investigator spends hours writing letters and calling creditors to clear the fraudulent debts for the family. Thank you, Florida agent Diego Besse. More crime and justice news after this. Now with the latest crime and justice breaking news, Crime Online's John Limley.
Idaho prison officials are preparing to execute the state's longest-serving death row inmate, Thomas Eugene Creech, after a botched attempt earlier this year. A judge issued a new death warrant for the 74-year-old Creech, setting the execution date for November 13th. Creech has been in prison for over 50 years, convicted of multiple murders, and sentenced to death for killing a fellow inmate in 1981. The Idaho Department of Corrections has revamped its execution protocols after the failed February attempt when the team was unable to find a suitable vein for lethal injection. The new procedures include the use of central venous lines, allowing catheters to be placed in large veins in the neck, groin, or chest if standard IV access is not possible. This will be Idaho's fifth execution since the death penalty was reinstated in 1976. Critics, including the Death Penalty Information Center, note that Idaho may become the first state to attempt a second execution using the same method after an initial failure. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles has reached a landmark agreement to pay $880 million to more than 1,300 victims of clergy sexual abuse. For the latest, we turn to Sydney Sumner of Crime Online.
This agreement now marks the largest single settlement in U.S. history involving a Catholic archdiocese. The announcement made Wednesday follows decades of allegations and legal battles against the nation's largest archdiocese. In a statement, Archbishop Jose H. Gomez expressed profound regret, saying, "From the bottom of my heart, I am sorry for every one of these incidents." He added that he hopes the settlement brings some measure of healing to the survivors. The settlement concludes years of legal proceedings during which attorneys representing the 1,353 victims fought to hold the archdiocese accountable for what they describe as widespread abuse by local priests. The Los Angeles Times reports that the resolution comes after months of intense negotiations. This latest settlement brings the total payouts by the Archdiocese of Los Angeles to over $1.5 billion, following a previous $740 million settlement reached with other victims. While attorneys for the plaintiffs acknowledge that no amount of money can undo the suffering endured by these survivors, they emphasize that this agreement represents a form of justice and accountability. Victims will now enter a process independent of the archdiocese to distribute the settlement funds among the claimants.
Lead attorney Morgan Stewart, who represented the victims, described the agreement as the largest settlement of its kind involving a Catholic archdiocese.
Thanks, John. Brandon Graves, 24, attends Morris College before transferring to Coastal Carolina University. 2 years after graduating, he decides to attend Morris College's homecoming with friends. The group gets rowdy at Sebastian's nightlife in Sumter, North Carolina after the game, and they're asked to leave. Brandon calls a cousin and a friend 3:30 a.m. Neither answer. He's never seen again. The two friends with Brandon say they got in an argument over where Brandon would be staying, and Brandon walked away. One friend passes a polygraph. The other refuses to take a test. Brandon Graves, African-American, 5'4", 150 pounds, shoulder length, black locks, brown eyes. Last seen wearing a blue t-shirt over a black thermal, black jeans, and a black baseball cap. If you have info on Brandon Graves, now missing 15 years, call Sumter County, North Carolina Sheriffs, 803-436-2700. For the latest crime and justice news, go to crimeonline.com. And please join us for our daily podcast, Crime Stories. With this crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.